Oh, our little wildcat has need of declawing.
Aye. Let the brother fight on against the Swords and Scrolls podcast, where a rotating rogues gallery joins me in discussing comics and more in the genre of heroic fantasy. I am Jared Savitas, your guide in the Battle of the Barbarians. That hurt my throat, man.
Yeah, it sounded like it.
Let's waste no time and welcome our guest to the final battle for returning to the Land of Scrolls to finish what he helped begin. Is my name is Matt Baum of the Two-Headed Nerd Podcast. Good morning, Matt. Welcome, sir.
Ho there, Jared. Good to be back. Talk about our buddy Wolf and our buddy Conan again.
Yeah, because when you kicked off the Battle of the Barbarians with your cohort, Joe Patrick from the Two-Headed Nerd, you said, I want to read one of these. I'd love to compare Wolf to Barbarian. And I was like, well, you asked for it.
Got it. No, I'm down. I'm totally down.
My only regret, Matt, is that you didn't get to read, I don't know if you read any more of Wolf, but the two Larry Hama issues, one and two, man.
No, I didn't. I have not. I didn't know Larry Hama worked. You know what? I think I did know Larry Hama worked on Wolf just from doing stuff from our own show, talking about all the stuff that he had done and touched back in the day. So I think I did. But no, I've never read the Larry Hama Wolf stuff.
The Larry Hama Wolf stuff is good stuff.
All right.
Let me tell you, man. Issue one and two. Check them out. Three and four, enter at your own risk.
Yeah.
Keep an open mind. Have a good time.
We'll talk about that.
Okay, so now Kothar has left the ring. We've got tonight in the Battle of Barbarians, we are just comparing Wolf and Conan, the
right.
Final issue of Wolf against a Roy Thomas original Conan issue. Matt, my man, which one of these should we start off with?
I mean, I think we got to start with Wolf, right? Because
okay.
You're going to tell me that you lifted this Wolf story for something that happens in this Conan book. And no. I want to see how it comes together because I read them both.
No, the only thing connecting these two issues, Matt, is back in 1975.
Okay.
This issue of Conan was on the stands for sale at the same time as this issue of Wolf.
Okay, so the initial exercise when we did this was they took a Wolf story and kind of put Conan in it. What do you think about that?
Who no, that's it? Wrong.
I read this Wolf comic book, and then I read this Conan comic book thinking there's going to be some through line.
No.
And that's why when we started today, I was like, maybe I missed something.
See, this is great because this just proves the point that I mentioned earlier in the recordings that I confused everybody on what the hell I was doing with this thing. And basically, I should have just been like, hey, man, read these two books.
Fair enough. Okay. But to be perfectly honest, let's start with Wolf, because I think you said if you're a kid walking in 25 cents into the comic shop and I'm looking at these covers.
Yeah.
Wolf wins by a mile. This Wolf,
that
monster kicks ass. There's a weird, red, furry, bumpy, tentacled monster thing.
Uh-huh.
And like, ooh, in. Hot chick, like in trouble. Wolf looking good, you know, like hair flowing. I'm like, man, this looks awesome.
Yep.
And then you dig into it. But that's what covers are supposed to do. They're supposed to rope you in, right?
Yes, right.
Yeah.
So this cover is by Jim Craig.
It's great.
And it's great. Jim Craig, he did the Scorpion, I believe, for Atlas. He did the Hands of the Dragon. He did the 3D Man.
Okay.
So, like, he he's a Marvel house guy for a bit for sure.
Yeah.
I think he did Deadly Hands of Kung Fu, maybe.
Jim Craig did? I think you're right.
He might have, man. I also love that she has the golden star jewel in her hand. Now, is this has to be, that's dumb of me to ask this question, because this has to be the flirtatious bandit that he encounters twice. Beatrice is her name. So that's got to be her on the cover.
I'll take your word for it. I don't think she's named as much more than woman in this.
No, she's Beatrice, dude. But no, both ladies,
Beatrice, yeah.
Both ladies get named, and I can't wait to talk about
Okay.
Can't
Jim
wait to
Craig
talk.
is a master of Kung Fu. There you go.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah.
But yeah, this cover is rad. Wolf's logo is so rad.
Great.
And there's Sword Against Demon Sorcery on the cover. Can Wolf survive Death Knight in the Darkling Forest? Oh man, we're about to find out.
Sounds awesome.
All right, so let's talk about the creative team real quick. Again, as we said, Jim Craig did the cover. He also pencils the inside. It is written by Mike Friedrich and lettered by Shelley Lefferman. Now, Friedrich, I just discovered this about this guy. So this cat, he co-scripted the introduction of Thanos and Drax the Destroyer.
Okay.
Alongside Jim Starlin. He scripted like every issue of Iron Man in the early 70s, except for
He was around, definitely.
Yeah,
he
right. Was, yeah. But the big thing, dude, I didn't know about Star Reach. Do you know Star Reach?
Star Reach? No, I'm looking it up right now.
Okay, so it's an anthology series he did in the early 70s. It's a forerunner of independently produced comics. Anthology of science fiction and fantasy stories.
Man,
So like
I don't think
I'm
I've
in.
ever seen these. Wow.
Yeah, and there's a rad cover by Barry Windsor Smith, issue number 7. And you could only get it in like subscription, mail order, or head shops. There was a few comic shops that carried Star Reach, but like it was, I guess, kind of tough to get.
It kind of like heavy metal. Yeah. It's sort of like metal with more fantasy.
Oh man, I'm so in. I need to check this crap out.
Wow.
But you know, based on his wolf story, maybe not read his stories.
Yeah, well, you know. Man, Howard Chaykin, Jim Starlin, Barry Windsor Smith.
Right?
Wow. Yeah,
Yes.
this thing was loaded. Jeez.
Yeah, it says it has Howard Chaykin's Cody Starbuck in it. What a cool bro, that Cody Starbuck.
Hell
looks
yeah.
just like every other Chaykin dude.
Sure.
So rad.
Yeah. Sword, gun.
Yeah.
Cody Starbuck. Yeah. He's got a thing. It's Flash Gordon. That was his jam, you know?
I'm into it, dude. Into it. Now, GDC has the inkers being Dan Adkins, Pablo Marcus, Aubrey Bradford, and Frank Giacoa.
The Atlas bullpen, otherwise it doesn't get named.
Yeah.
You forgot to mention this is edited by Stan Lee's little brother, Larry Lieber.
Well, yeah, because
yeah,
dude, Atlas was like, "We're gonna take you down, Marvel."
Yeah, Larry was like, "Screw you, older brother. Watch this. We're gonna get that sweet, sweet Wolf money."
Yeah. All right, I wrote up a synopsis for Wolf. Let me see if I got it right here, Matt. Here we go. Wolf attacks a band of bandits in order to take one of their horses. They battle with words and blades until Wolf springs a net trap and escapes, riding off on a stolen horse loaded with the bandits' ill-gotten loot. Once free of the trap, the bandits give chase. Jump to the forest where a raven-haired female bandit battles a fetid kill demon. She loses the battle and the kill demon, vampire-like, drains her of blood. Once satisfied, the kill demon changes form into a man. But not just any man. This is Mackell Lord Lek Sackman. Jesus. This is a man Wolf recognizes as he rides nearer. Mackell was a royal toy maker when Wolf was a youth. So why not journey together? While camping, the bandits attack. They are driven off. And while Wolf is asleep, the kill demon makes its move. Wolf kills the kill demon. And with his dying breaths, he tells Wolf how he became to be cursed. He also tells Wolf of the state of his kingdom and that in the loot Wolf recovered from the bandits is the Golden Star Jewel, which can be used to defeat Mordek Mal Moriak. And it says, next issue, return to Silverkeep. Also check out Wolf in the new Barbarians title, which he does not appear in the first issue of Barbarians. So maybe they were talking about issue 2 of Barbarians, but there never was an issue of 2 of Barbarians. And there was an issue 5 of Wolf the Barbarian. This is it.
So Larry had canceled Wolf by this point and was like, don't worry, Wolf will return in the pages of Barbarians if that pans out.
Dude, Atlas hit it hard for a year.
Yeah.
Put out like 34, 36 titles or something like that and then folded. And,
yeesh.
And like, yeah, it was a very interesting experiment.
Oh. It's a good story, though. I mean, like, I like what's going on here. It's classic fantasy, you know, like you've got your your traveling barbarian, wanders into a situation, thinks it's one thing, turns out to be another. There's a whole, you know, like cursed dude storyline. It's not even his fault. It's not his fault he turns into a weird tentacle monster. You know, it's he was cursed.
Do you think the cover version of the tentacle monster matches up pretty well with the monster we get in here?
The cover version of the, Jim Craig spent all his time on the cover, and it's pretty obvious. This is like one of those classic, you know, like, remember when you watched Thundercats and you'd get so fired up by that intro? You're like,
the intro's beautiful thing.
This intro looks so good. And then the cartoon starts and you're just like, oh my God, this looks terrible. Yeah. Jim Craig spent all his time on that cover. And you can tell Atlas, I mean, just looking, comparing like the backgrounds in this. And it's not just due to the, like, yes, you have two, you know, Big John Buscema and Frank Springer on art in the Conan book. They are masters. Jim Craig is no punk. Like, he's good. There's really good panels here, but I don't think they had the time, the money. You know, I think he just cranked this out. There's some panels that look great, and then there's other stuff that looks bad, including the monster, who doesn't just have tentacles. He's got tentacle toes.
Yeah.
It's because his feet are tentacles.
It's weird. And he uses those. He uses those constrictor-like to, like,
it's gross.
Grab and...
Yeah. So that means, like, in those scenes, he's either standing on one foot, you know, like grabbing raven-haired whatever, or his toes are prehensile and they can just stretch out and grab stuff. I don't know. Either way, don't like it. It's gross.
It's a weird monster when you it's see it from head to toe. For
weird,
sure.
And they can't decide if it's furry or if it's scaly or if it's both. You know, like, it's a lot of things. It's a lot of scary things.
What do you think of this opening splash page here?
Where I think the opening splash page is great. Like, it's gorgeous. It's like Prince Valiant good looking, right? Wolf is in the tree and stuff, you know, and then, like, he jumps out and attacks him and kicks vaguely Asian looking dude in the face.
Yeah, right.
You know, right? Like, this is a great opening. I'm looking at this and I'm like, yeah, Jim Craig, man, he's got it. This is, I can see it. The motion's here. The horse is rearing up. You know, this is action, baby. And the next couple pages are pretty solid. You know, they don't look bad at all. And then I think about page four, I think he starts to realize, oh, I don't have this kind of time. I got to get this done. You know, right? Like, oh, shit. It took a week to draw these three pages.
I love the shot of Wolf's red undies on that opening splash page where he's out of the tree.
He's wearing a skirt.
He's making his skirt go up and you get his sweet old red package. It's a funny fight. You know, like, he thinks they're merchants, and then, like, but then he's going to, like, steal from merchants. Larry Hama's wolf, I feel like, probably would have been like, hey, guys, I see you're merchants. I was wondering if I couldn't get a horse from you some way. You know what I mean? Like, he would. But this guy's like, I'm just attacking these merchants.
No, this wolf, he's just horse jacking, man. He's like, taking your shit. Deal with it.
it's not like, but then the story makes them bandits so that now you don't feel bad that he's preying upon them and stealing a horse from them.
Because otherwise, this is just a story of when our hero jumped on four people that didn't deserve it.
Yeah.
Took the horse.
But I do appreciate that to set off the trap, he throws a knife to cut a vine and make this trap fall. And he calls Starvo Darkoven, his mentor from the first issue. And that's a nice little touch there by Friedrich that he worked in. Stavro mentioned, because that character is cool as shit, dude.
All right. And he's like a Rube Goldberg trap type guy,
he looks like Duke from G.I. Joe with an eye patch and in a fantasy setting. But dude, like, if you go read Wolf, you'll agree that dude rules, dude.
Fair enough.
Character rules.
I will say all of Craig's characters look showered. They look clean. They've got great hair.
Oh my God. Wolf's hair is a lot for me to take.
He's
in
gorgeous.
This issue, dude, because
Wolf
it is
like, he's a gorgeous bitch.
It,
like,
is fabulous all
stunning.
Over the place.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay. So I do want to mention real quick that the bandit that is fighting the Kill Demon, right? Her name is Lalay Del Drune. Apparently she's hot as rocks. And apparently she was part of the bandit gang, but her horse got injured, so they like bailed on her.
Oh.
Which is what they do to the guy that got his horse stolen too. They're like, you are worthless to us now. You don't have a horse. So later.
Jesus. Maybe it's a cultural thing. I don't mean to judge, but that seems harsh. I don't know.
These bandits live fast and hard, baby.
Yes.
Okay. But when I got to this part in the story and I saw Lalay, I was like, this character is awesome. I was like, who is this chick? She's super cool. I love look.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, let's give me, I'd read a book of this character. And then she just gets
don't get attacked
by the demon.
No, she gets her blood sucked off panel, or his feet suck the blood out of her. It's not clear.
It's sad.
It's unclear at best what happens to her. But she's dead. She's definitely dead.
Yeah. And then when the demon becomes man again, he's just like, you know, Grizzly Adams, bro, with
a tunic.
Tunic and a loincloth. It's all he's got.
I mean,
got.
It's kind of a Bruce Banner Hulk situation. Like every time he kill demons out, his clothes get all messed up, I'm sure. Yeah. You know, demon's big.
Yeah. What's funny is as I've been talking about these comics during the battle, I always bring up how flashback panels are done. And when Wolf and this guy's ridiculous name, Mackel Lord Lackashman, Lexackman?
Yeah, I think it's Lexackman. Yeah. Lexackman. Lord, of course, Mikhail, Lord Lexackman.
What the heck?
Alas, since Mordek Malmorak, I am a lord no longer.
Yeah.
And yourself? Oh, I'm Prince Wolf. I remember you as the royal toy master of my youth. So what?
Yeah.
I didn't pick up on that. Royal toy master? What?
Yeah, Wolf was a prince, dude. He's
prince.
You got
okay.
Like, man, I'm telling you.
He's too good looking to be a barbarian. He's too good looking to be a barbarian. There's no way.
Yeah, they really shouldn't have used the term barbarian for Wolf. They should have just done like Wolf the Warrior. That's my pitch.
Yeah.
Simple and maybe too simple, but
you got whatever. Two W's in there. Come on.
It's two W's and your bad guy is MMM and you can't have two W's for your main character. Come on.
Larry Lieber grew up in Stan Lee's house. Somehow he missed Wolf the Warrior. Come on, man. Come on.
Well, they're going after Marvel. So they're like,
okay, he was like, no, that's what my stupid brother would do. This is Wolf the Barbarian.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Maybe. There you go. But for the flashback panels, going back to when he was a toy maker and Wolf was a youngster, they do these cloudy corners on the boxes, which are kind of, you know, a nice little touch. But then during that first attempt at a 8-hour rest, these bandits bump him and Wolf finds himself fighting Beatrice. And man, they couldn't have had more of a flirty fight. You can just feel the tension between these two.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
If this comic would have went on, they would have hooked up.
Oh, big time.
You know what I mean?
Well, she was like so turned on by like how good he was at what he did.
And he's a younger man.
Ho, ho, ho.
He's a younger man. She keeps calling him youngster. They all keep calling him youngster.
Well, and I think that's, I don't know how well Jim Craig impresses that upon us as the reader. That, like, how old is Wolf? What is he supposed to be, like, 18, 19?
Yeah, who knows?
Because he looks like he's 35. Like, there's nothing young on the page, right? He just looks like a dude, you know? Mm-hmm. He vaguely between 25 and 40, somewhere in there, I'd say.
Yeah.
Yeah, they keep calling him youngster, child, and all this stuff. I was like, what? I just thought they were insulting him, honestly, until you said that. I was like, well, yeah, I guess maybe Wolf is a kid. He's a prince. I don't know.
Yeah. He's just a young dude, like, I guess. I don't know.
His toy master is not that much older.
But his toy master is also cursed with drinking blood out of his tentacle toes.
True. Look, so maybe he's been around for a long time. We don't know.
There's a really disturbing panel where Wolf is fighting her. And in the foreground, you get Mackel. And a fallen bandit, and he's human, except for the tentacles are coming from somewhere, wrapping around the dude, and it's gross.
Kind of looks like they're coming out of his pants. It's gross. And it's colored pink. So, because they want you to see this. Like, this
Yes.
is important.
Beatrice escapes, though, and she says, "Perhaps when you are king, you will want Beatrice as your queen." See?
Ooh.
Yeah. Tease. But then Wolf's like, "All right, I'm going back to bed." And Kill Demon comes for him, and they have a two-page fight that's pretty rough.
Yeah, he wakes up when his feet, when toe tentacles like wrap around him. Wolf's like, what the? Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a great battle scene.
It's
Like,
not.
Jim Craig is racing to finish this issue at this point. So,
And especially if you got all these different inkers on it, like I
yeah.
can't really tell ink styles too differently apart. That's my untrained eye, I guess,
But
or
you can
unexperienced eye,
tell,
but
like, that panel's really messy. This one's really clean,
yeah.
right? I mean,
There's a panel where you get a side shot of the Kill Demon, and his face and head looks exactly like Beast Man from Masters of the Universe, where I'm
kind
like,
of, yeah. I'm
they
looking
got
at it
that.
right now.
Look at that thing.
This is just where he's when Wolf is stabbing him, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. And like this, I'm not gonna say, I will say it. There's some much better battle scenes in the Conan book. This is just like, we wrestled and then I stabbed him and the fight
Yes.
was over. Okay.
Yeah.
Although I will say they put the stabbing right there on the panel. Not a lot of that going on in Conan. There's stuff where it's like people get stabbed, but it's sort of like, oh, the sword is being swung and that guy's gonna get stabbed. And then the next panel is like, that guy is dead,
Yeah. There's so many like speed line, action line on that page. It's crazy. Like every panel has like lines of like, extreme. This is extreme.
I think they were doing it because they were like, this fight does not look great. We gotta jazz this up a little bit with
Oh
something. So let's make it more exciting.
boy. And the guy dies in Wolf's arms and,
Yeah.
tells
Tells
him
them a story.
kingdom's not in great shape.
Trolls took over. Yeah, that's bad news.
It's bad news, man.
Bad news. Mordek? That guy looks like an asshole.
Mordek put a kid in as a puppet queen. Wolf's cousin is in charge, but not really, because Mordek's back there, dude. He's
Yep.
pulling a Grim of Worm tongue. Well, Matt, geez, that was Wolf number four, man.
That was Wolf number four. Yeah. Wolf, the cover leads you to believe that we are in for a real good time, and the comic is fine. It is fine at best. And by the end, they're just like, man. I don't know. Sometimes less is more with your monster design. Man, had it just been like this dude looks like Beast Man, would have been just as scary. Would have worked. Looks like Beast Man drinks blood. Like, we don't need the tentacles. You don't need them at all. It's weird.
Right. Yeah, it could just be a like a almost like a Beast Man,
Yeah.
werewolfy type of critter.
Totally. Like, sometimes less is more. Let's leave the tentacles on the editing floor. Don't do it. All right, let's talk Conan. Let's get into Conan.
Let's get into it. There is some details about the characters in this story. Interesting cast. Now, but let's do this real quick. This is Conan the Barbarian, issue number 53. Brothers of the Blade is the title. We've got a cover by Gil Kane and John Romita. This one's written by Roy Thomas. John Buscema pencils. Frank Springer inks. John Costanza letterer. Janice Cohen color. Real quickly, crank out this synopsis, because I feel like we got a lot to talk about here.
Yeah, we'll go right into it.
Okay.
Go for
All right. So the Crimson Company arrives at Renoko, a small city-state that has hired them. The company arrives early and they are mistakenly attacked. The skirmish is quickly ended, and we learn that Renoko is expecting an attack from another nearby city-state called Carnola.
Yeah, they're just freaked out. They're like
They're freaked
like,
out.
oh man, anytime these guys are going to attack.
Yes. Now, the captain of the Crimson Company is Murillo, and Conan and Tara meet with Belzamo, who is the ruler of Renoko, who lays out his plan to ally with the city of Pergona against Carnola. Now, Balsamo wants to force the alliance by kidnapping the daughter of the Lord of Pergona.
Yeah.
Her name is Yvonne.
She's a lot of wheels within wheels going on here.
Yes. Yeah, Roy Thomas is like, hey, man, I just got done adapting this Kothar story. So here I go. Now I'm back at it. This is me again. Yvonne is being transported by these dudes called the Blade Brothers to an arranged wedding in Carnola. Conan and Tara disguise themselves in order to approach the Blade Brothers and this retinue. A fight ensues. The Blade Brothers are killed, and Yvonne is taken by the Crimson Company. Now, there's also an epilogue, the B plot, and we catch up with the company that was sent back to claim the Ring of Black Shadow. They are killed by the living shadow creature, except for Yusuf, who managed to escape. That's the end of the issue.
The living shadow creature could be cool, but they decided not to draw it. It's literally just a shadow.
It's a shadow.
It's a shadow with teeth.
What do you expect, dude? If you've got a relic called the Ring of the Black Shadow, what else would be attached?
I don't know.
To it?
I mean, it could be anything. A furry black monster. I don't know. You know, it's just like, I don't know. I guess I wanted something scarier.
Now, Matt, the reason why I felt you were perfect for this, it just kind of worked out that you were you're bookending this whole Battle of the Barbarians thing. It's the Blade Brothers, the Brothers of the Blade.
I love the Brothers of the Blade. They're great.
Matt's got something to say about these guys.
They are great. And the cover, they're all three attacking. And the Brothers of the Blade, they have their names because each one of them has a body part that has been swapped for a weapon. There's a dude with an axe hand, right? There's a dude with a foot. There's a knife that comes out of it. A claw foot. And then they have like this brother who just wears a helmet. He's kind of Ram Man. That's sort of his thing. He's like Masters of the Universe Ram Man. And he's super dumb like Ram Man too. So I'm wondering if the same guys that created Ram Man, who were also comic book dudes, if they were like, oh, you know what? I'm going to recycle one of the Brothers of the Blade. And they're like, He-Man, I'm here to help. You know, this guy's an idiot. And it's because he has a metal head and his job. He has no other weapons either. He just bashes shit with his metal head.
Yeah.
It's his job. I love it.
These guys are ridiculous.
They are totally ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
I'm guessing by issue 53 of Conan. I'm sure it's still selling well, but they're like, you know what Conan needs? Some super villains. You know, like it can't always just be like demons and like we need some like comic book. This is comic book shit right here. Like,
yeah.
Axe guy, you know, he's like the Grim Reaper in Marvel. You know, he had the sword hand,
yes.
The hand and stuff, you know,
yes.
Or like Blade Fist or whatever the other guy's name. Yeah, you know, that's all they are. They're great. And I would argue the plot is so thick that we just need something stupid, you know, that Conan can smash and fight in here somewhere. Otherwise, it's just all Game of Thrones diplomacy, all issue. And Conan basically being like, why do you guys do all this shit? You know,
yeah.
it's a lot. Conan is constantly the whole time. Murillo, nice guy, good looking, right? Knows how to play the game. He's a diplomat and he's doing all this stuff. And he's like, Conan, you know, like if you would learn a little bit, you'd be great, man. You could do it. And Conan's like, this is bullshit. It's like, I don't know. Like, he's calling him out the whole time. He's like, you Orphians have a strange way of gaining friends.
Yeah. But he's getting paid. He accepted the job. He got outfitted with some armor and he's sellsword. I love it.
For the record, Clawfoot is my favorite of the Brothers of the Blood because
dude,
his weapon is far and away the dumbest. On the cover, it's like a brown furry boot with a knife coming out of it. In the book, it looks like he's just got like a big steel foot and a knife stabs out of it, like Wolverine style.
It's crazy. Here's what I've got here on these characters. So to see what Roy had to say about these comics, I always look up these afterwards he wrote in the Chronicles of Conan volumes, graphic novel line from Dark Horse Comics. So this appears in volume 8. And Roy says, if a few readers recalled that I'd made up a similar modern day triumvirate of terror in the Avengers 37, 8 years earlier. That just underscores his point that history tended to repeat itself from the pre-cataclysmic age of Cole through the Hyborian age of Conan to the Marvel age of comics. So his Wrecking Crew is a repeat. So there was a Wrecking Crew in Cole times. This is the Wrecking Crew in Hyborian times, and the Wrecking Crew is the Wrecking Crew in the Marvel Age.
Sure, sure. I know, I buy it. Yeah, they're the Wrecking Crew. That makes perfect sense. I love it.
I need to see the Wrecking Crew of the Age of Cole. I demand it.
I'm sure there's something in there. They're like, right? There had to have been.
No,
right?
I bet you there's not. There's not. There's not. That's why I demand it. These things. All these city states names and stuff. Roy says that he named all the city states in the story, and Renoco was the name of a brand of coffee from the 1950s his father used to service to restaurants in Missouri and Illinois.
I was going with the Enya song.
The owner of the company's name was O'Connor, so it's the name backwards.
Okay. All right.
It's Coffee State.
Not Orinoco Flow. Gotcha.
Yeah.
I did feel like Conan, though. By the time they were done naming all these places, I was just like, oh my God, shut up. Which Conan, too, is just like, all right, let's get to making money and killing people. Can we?
Mm-hmm. I'll say this about Springer's inks on Buscema's pencils. I don't think not it's great. The strongest pairing.
Not great. Like this panel when we first meet the Brothers of the Blade. I get it. They're ugly. Like they're supposed to be ugly dudes. But in this panel, they look deformed. I don't know. I don't know what to say. They look absolutely deformed.
Well, they have deformed themselves to become the Brothers of the Blade. That's for sure.
No, I mean, their faces look deformed. Like they are.
I know.
And that continues. I guess like every time we see them, they're pretty ugly dudes. No question.
And the thing that kills me there is like, I love how Buscema draws dudes like that.
Yeah.
And when they're inked correctly, they just look so cool. Like,
yeah, I think, you know, Frank Springer is not famous for inking John Buscema for reasons that are right here on the page. John Buscema is real good. This is Big John, you know? The inking's not great in this book. It's just not.
Oh, boy. There is a really fun part. So Tara is a girl that Conan met last issue. She's an orphan. She's an acrobat.
Yeah.
Quick little acrobat thiefy gal. And there's a little fun exchange as they're walking through the streets, right? Like, you know, Murillo and Conan and Tara getting escorted to go talk to the leader, and they pass a whorehouse, I guess.
Yeah.
And Conan's and there's a beauty sitting out there. Yeah, man. She got her flash dance shirt going on off one shoulder and sitting up there, and Conan's like, ah, man, the city's got diversions. Nice. And she's like, yeah, I don't know what you can see in that kind of woman, Conan. She can't dodge bulls the way I do, and she'd be no good at a fight at all in a fight.
Like, and Conan's like, I was counting on that. Like, I wasn't planning on fighting her.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's great, though. She's calling out bitches this whole comic book. Yeah. Like, later on, when they're saving the princess from the Brothers of the Blade, she's like, this chick is useless.
Yeah. Yeah. And Tara's just a teenage gal, and she's
great.
She's cool. She hangs in these issues for a while, leading all the way up to the Queen of the Black Coast. Okay. So her character becomes the sweetheart of another dude that we'll get introduced to in a few issues.
Hopefully she's not 17 anymore.
Yeah, they're appropriately aged for each other. But they become a nice little couple. And what happens with them is what causes Conan to go into court, where he kills the judge and has to flee and jump on a ship. And that's how
Oh,
The
okay.
Fleet of the Black
All right.
Coast starts. So
Okay.
in that
That's why he
story,
became a pirate. He had to get out of there.
yeah, right. Yeah. So Tara becomes that character. Roy
Okay.
Thomas appoints her to become that nameless character from the Howard story, which is
Gotcha.
pretty interesting to me.
She's got a lot of personality here. We could see her kill her first dude. She takes out Clawfoot.
She
Who,
does.
again, and this is nothing against Tara. She's a great character, but like big bad Clawfoot who kicks people with his knife toe. Got taken out by a 17-year-old girl. Just saying, man.
Who jumps around and used and kicks.
Yeah, and he's just like, damn it, hold still so I can kick you.
They disguise themselves as like as waifs and traveling
Like when
beggars.
you say disguise themselves, like let's they put on trash bags. Basically. Like, and even like the poor dumb metalhead or Ram Man, I can't remember what his name is now. He's like, you big for beggar. Like they wouldn't be like, hey man, you're massive. Why don't you take that trash bag off so we can get a look at you? Conan's a big guy.
Now, I know he's not the sharpest tack in the bunch, but his name is Steel Skull, dude.
Steel Skull, Steel Skull. I'm gonna keep calling him Ram Man. Sorry.
Oh my gosh. But it's a pretty cool fight, man.
Fight's great. The whole fight, like Tara's stuff is great. Conan's fight is awesome because once again, and this is like from the Conan stuff that you've been having me read every time, it's like Conan can't just come in and be Conan and just whip somebody's ass. It's like it's hard. It's and he's got to be smart and like he can't kill this dude. He takes out Steel Skull, stabs him in the throat
Oh,
because you
it's
know
rad panel, dude. He just
it is.
rocks him in
He's like he's
the
not Steel Throat. He's just
neck.
Steel Skull. You know,
Yeah.
axe hand guy. I can't remember what is his name.
Oh boy, who is
Where's
this
he at?
goofball?
Skull. Here he is. The Slicer. Yeah, axe hand guy who sounds like he works at a deli. He is like big bad and like and reveals straight up like, hey, my axe hand was created by wizards and like I'm full on enchanted. I'm a bad, bad man. Like Conan can't handle him. He's super strong and Conan can't hurt him. And he's got a sword in his other hand, so he's just like.
Yeah.
And their fight is great. It's legit great. Conan's like, all I can do is hope I'm in better shape and wear this guy down, but he will not get tired. And he remarks like, Conan's like stopping his axe hand, and he's like, this guy's arm should be broken. Like, he's so strong. And the dude's like, no, man, I'm magic. Deal with it. And he gets stabbed in the throat too. Pretty bad. It's a pretty good panel when Conan's like falling on the rocks. He's just like, we're done here. It's stabbed through the throat. And the slicer sliced. Ooh.
The combats are so great in this.
Yeah,
I
it's
love
really
that everybody is wielding, like, Conan's fighting with a sword and a knife, which he doesn't always do. And like you said, Slicer's got axe and sword.
yeah.
Steel Skull is two-handing a long sword. But then Clawfoot is just like, I'm just using my foot, nothing
Well,
else.
got him killed too, didn't it?
It
You know,
did. It should
never thought
have
about that cloth of it.
multi-wielded, sir.
Yeah, man.
So now the Crimson Company has got this lady Ivana to deal with. She looks like she's going to be a handful.
I think they really dialed back the diplomacy for this because this fight seems long. The stuff with the brothers that like they stuck this in here. You could tell they're like, we need some action. Because then they're just like, oh yeah, the other plot's happening too. And like when two panels,
We got to
basically.
move the major plot along.
Yeah. And Murillo comes back and he's like, oh, you really screwed up here, Conan. We could have ransomed those three brothers to Pergona if you'd not slain them. And Conan's like, dude. Like, I don't know if you noticed, but these guys all have like weapons for arms and feet. And then Tara throws water in the princess's face. She's like, screw you, bitch.
Yes, dude.
She's like, Make fun of me for stinking. Yeah. The queen's like, when was the last time you bathed?
Yeah, she's going to be the lady. The lady is going to be something else.
I liked her. She's a punk rock. I dig her.
Oh, and then I love that at the bottom of that page, Marvel Spotlight 23, the son of Satan dares the death trap of Dr. Darklight.
That sounds badass. Yeah, man.
Have you read all those Son of Satan?
I have not read all the Son of Satan, but I do love the Son of Satan comics. Yeah,
me too.
They are fantastic.
Me too, man. Well, there we go. Those are our two Barbarian books of 1975. Matt, there can only be one Barbarian here.
There can only be one. And I'm
25 cents.
So I'll be real here. If I was a kid walking in with 25 cents, I would have walked out with the Wolf comic book and been pissed. Like, they would have tricked me into buying it because the cover, the monster on the cover was so great. The Brothers of Blade are way better. Way better. But again, don't get attached, because anybody's going to show up in a Conan comic book, there's a good chance Conan's going to stab you in the throat, and that's that, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, Conan book is way better. It's way, and it's not even John Buscema's best stuff. You know, he's not a great inker on this one, but this Conan book is way better. I also thought it was funny when they showed up, they accidentally attacked him, and Conan like shoots the guy that's about to dump hot tar all over him, and he dumps behind him all over everybody, and they're like, sorry,
yeah,
we're not here to attack you. And like, oh yeah, come in, misunderstanding, we get it. Yeah. Meanwhile, these poor assholes upstairs are like, ah! Just like boiling in oil, more or less.
Yeah.
No, the Conan book is way better. Yeah, I'll be honest. Wolf kind of sucks. Wolf kind of seems like they wanted to do Conan and they wanted to do Prince Valiant. That's what I see when I see Wolf. I see Larry Lieber going, how can we smash these things together and make money off this? You know, I'm sure he was more than that in his books and whatnot, but I've yet to read a Wolf comic where I walked away with feeling like, yeah, Wolf, he's a badass.
I'm telling you, read issue one. Hama's vision for Wolf was not to lean towards the Conan type, but to lean more towards a Valiant, Lord of the Rings type of feel. And he succeeded, I feel like, in his first two books. He had to leave the book because his mother passed during the making of issue number two, and then he needed a break, and he stepped away. So the book got written by two different guys, issues three and four, and
canceled.
Yeah. and then it was
things
over.
Moving quick at Atlas. Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, Larry Hama lived happily ever after, so
who knows. Yeah, right.
Wolf kind of got screwed. Larry Hama, he turned out okay.
Hama wrote some issues of Conan the Barbarian, which are like fill in one shot stories, which I think are cool. He wrote an 8-issue series just called Conan that came out in like the 90s. So when everything was like
1995, I remember that.
I can't even stomach looking at that book. So I've never read it.
It's an ugly con. I bought those because
you're kidding me.
No. Because I loved Larry Hama's Wolverine.
Okay.
So when they were like Larry Hama Conan, I was like, all right, you know, and it was one of those things where I think they're all in a bag and it was like,
$10,
you know, okay, like at the shop. And I was like, yeah, fuck yeah. Larry Hama Conan. Mm-hmm. All right. It is not good. It's not.
No. Right. Yeah. I read the issue where he faces off against Barry Windsor Smith's character Rune from Malibu.
Yeah.
Because I read all of that, there's a story there. There's a story.
Well, that was a crossover thing. They did crossovers with like several of those characters in Malibu.
Yeah, yeah. They did a Rune Conan crossover that appears in three different issues of book. So that's the only one I've read, and it was gross, and I just can't.
Conan versus Rune. Great. The cover's beautiful. Mm. Beautiful cover. Barry Windsor. Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah, that one is awesome. There's a story that appears in an issue of Conan the Savage, and then there's the story that's in the Conan book. So that's all three of that. I was going to do that cover. I was going to do an episode on that, but whatever. Okay, so now Before we get out of here, Matt, let's do a little bit of business
Okay.
here. So there was I've been talking about the backup stories that appeared in the two issues of the Conan that were covered here in The Battle of the Barbarians. Oh, you know what? I never said which book. Look, man, the Conan book is a better book.
It's a better book. There's no question.
It's but the Brothers of the Blade are lame.
Oh,
And
they're the worst.
and then the Wolf book is lame, but that chick is so great. And
She's
she's
great,
so,
but she gets they kill her. That's
I
a
don't
thing.
care.
It's like neither of the comics know where their money is printed, you know, right? Like they couldn't figure out where to butter the bread. And they were like, oh man, here's a great idea. Dead. Oh man, these guys rule. They could cause Conan a problem for the next 10 issues. Dead. You know, just kill them.
Yeah, they were throwaway guys and she was a throwaway girl and they could have been fun. So I think like both books bum me out because of their different reasons, but man, I have to go with if let's say I was the dude collecting Conan and I only had 25 cents, I wouldn't spend it on a different book. It's the same way growing up, like all my, you know, when I only had so much money, I was like, "Well, I'm getting this book because I love it." And then even if there was a cool looking book and if I couldn't afford it, I didn't get it. So I would pass it up. So that's what I would have done. I would have picked up Conan.
Yeah, I would. I mean, like, I you'd be smarter for picking up Conan, and Conan's the guy. There's a reason why Marvel licensed this, and Atlas had to license Wolf. You know, nothing against Wolf, but he's no Conan. He's just not.
Yeah. But to jump back on the backups, I decided what I was going to do with the Red Sonja because there's a Red Sonja backup that appears, I believe, in issue 40. Let me just check. It's 48 of Conan the Barbarian. It's a backup story called Episode. I'm going to pair that with another story, this one that comes out of Savage Sword of Conan issue number 45 from 1979. It's called Master of Shadows. Both of these Red Sonja solo stories are penciled by John Buscema, and they are inked by the inker of which the main Conan story, same team. So it's really interesting to me that like instead of doing like maybe a long Conan issue with the same art team, they do a Sonja short story, same art team. And I'm like, huh.
Chances are they were working on something,
Unless they
and
had
like,
stuff sitting around, you know what I
yeah, it
mean?
was going
Like
to be a
it
book, it
just
was going to be a
kind of.
story, and they're like, nah, they just tie it up. We'll use it as a backup for whatever, you know. Like, there you
Yeah.
go, printed.
But that'll be an episode coming up. And you can actually get both of those stories in a collection from Dynamite called The Further Adventures of Red Sonja, Volume 1, which has like all of her Savage Sword appearances in it, pretty
Oh, fun,
much.
fun.
So if you're reading along, put that in your pocket sometime. And then Matt, let's let everybody know where they can find your podcast and all kinds of stuff online.
Sure, twittednerd.com. We're on the YouTubes. We're on all the socials. Check us out. We're always talking about comic books. Every once in a while, I have to take a break and talk to Jared about barbarian and fantasy stuff because Joe is allergic to that crap. He just doesn't get it. He's but yeah, we're always screaming about comics. You can find us on Discord too if you want to come hang out.
Right on, man. And with this, the final round in the Battle of the Barbarians, we tally these results. It should come as no surprise that Kothar came in third place. I give the guy honorable mention because his story became canon for Marvel Comics Conan. And that's a pat on the back for Gardner Fox, if nothing else. Pretty interesting and wild. Kothar was brought into the battle, you know, just kind of by default once I realized that the comics I was comparing had that story. But the main thrust of this was to see if Wolf the Barbarian could take down Conan the Barbarian, because that was the whole idea of what Atlas Comics was doing. But it came down to this. So, in the battle between Conan and Wolf, Wolf won clean one time.
Conan won clean twice, and then there was a tie between the two of them. So check your scorecards, folks. That means Wolf takes second place, and Conan takes first place. Now, I think that you should not take that as Wolf is a lesser book. It's a great book. The first two issues are amazing. I really feel Larry Hama had something going on. You should check these issues out. They're all for free to look, to read on the internetarchive.org. And I wanted to say one more time, a big thank you to all my friends for joining in on doing this crazy little comparison of books and characters, even when they weren't quite sure what I was doing. I do have some new voices coming to the podcast this coming year. I'm very excited about it. Next episode, I will be covering the very first volume of ElfQuest by Wendy and Richard Pini from Warp Graphics. Find all our past episodes at goodpencil.com/podcast. Find us on Instagram. Not only do I post images from the books we review, I do things like, for example, on Sundays, I do a thing called Savage Sunday, where I go through my Savage Sword of Conan collection and I showcase an issue every week. You can reach out to me through Instagram, or I have a Gmail account, swordsandscrolls@gmail.com, but that's with the letter N in Swords and Scrolls. I always say support your local public library and support your local comic shops. Keep reading comics, everybody, and be good to each other. Okay, now, Matt, before we get out of here, we'll leave everybody with this.
There's more to life to be found in the Wanderer's Path than in any kingly court, dudes.
And more death, Matt. Don't forget that. More death as well.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Jared. That was super fun.